This is a Sunday for handouts. You're going to get three pieces of paper instead of two today. I thought I would wait on this one until the end, and then I realized that if I did that, some of you will not understand and will slip away and will not take part. How many of you, I want to see your hands, how many of you can ride a bicycle? All right, almost everybody here can ride a bicycle. How many of you read a book, How to Ride a Bicycle, before you learned? You didn't? How many of you can swim? See your hands. All right. How many of you learned to swim because you read a book about swimming before you learned? How many of you took a class to learn swim? So some people did. Some people, you know, their father was kind to them, took them out and just threw them in a lake. But, you know, those people aren't here because some of them didn't make it. No. We're talking about prayer today. And you learn to pray by praying. I can tell you a lot of theories. I can give you a lot of scriptures about prayer. But when you get this card, there's some simple instructions on the front of it. Number one, choose two prayer partners. So if you open it up, you'll see that there's a place for three names, a prayer triangle. Number two, each lists three names of people who need to come to faith in Christ. We are not a social club. We are here to build up those who are believers, but we're also here to reach out to those who do not yet know the joy of salvation. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. You know, some people say, well, why doesn't God just, once you become a Christian, why doesn't God just take us to heaven? And they say, well, you know, we can worship. We can worship better in heaven. Well, we could serve Him. Well, we could serve better in heaven. We wouldn't have all the aches and pains. The purpose we are left here is that we are to proclaim His name to those around us. And so, you list three names. And if you do not know three people who need to come to faith in Christ that you are in contact with, don't name your great aunt that's in Cucamonga. I mean, somebody here close, somebody that you're working with, or somebody that you live next door to, or somebody that you would be willing to reach out to. And then you pray daily for all nine names, not just your three, but you pray for the three names of the others. You don't even have to use last names. It's not important. God knows who they are. At least once a week from now until Easter, okay? We're not talking a long time. I'm not signing you up for a lifetime of prayer. I am believing and praying that some of these prayer triangles will love it so much they'll stick with it and go on. And then, so at least once a week. So you can do that before church, after church, during the week. I don't, you know, however you want to do it, that's fine. Just once a week, pray together. And then, as God allows, invite all to attend the Easter service. That's all we're asking. You say, well, what if I'm not here on Easter? That's okay. Still invite them to come. I'm going to be here. And it's April 1st this year, very unusual date for Easter. Does anybody not understand the instructions? Is it clear? Okay. And the reason I'm giving it to you now is because I want you to look around out the corner of your eyes and see if you can spot those other two people. And if they're not here today, I suggest you find people that are here. But if they're not here, we'll have these next week and the week after. And you could take one to somebody. If somebody wants to grab Marilyn or Yuda as part of their team, I'm sure they would be glad to be a part of it. So if you leave today without having done this, the chances are that you won't do it. And I wanted you to have it ahead of time, so you'll know what it's all about. We've been talking about spiritual warfare. We've been talking about the armor of God. And if you want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, I want to remind us of some things that we've been talking about already. Beginning verse 10, it says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. We're in a battle. It's not a game that we're playing. It's not just floating along. This is a battle. If you're a believer today, you're a target. You have a target on your back. Satan would like to bring you down. He would like to destroy you. And therefore, in verse 13, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then he begins to name the armor. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. It takes integrity with God for us to have this relationship that he wants us to have. He talks about the body armor or the breastplate of God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And some people stop there and say, well, that's the armor. That's the armor. And there's a break. And this Bible does it. Your Bible, I don't know if it does it or not, makes a break at that point. There is no break. There should be no break there. It should read like this. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all the believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so that I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador, so pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for Him as I should. In a war, communication is vital. There's countless accounts during wartime where a missed signal, a miscommunication has caused terrible defeat. I was reading a number of them this week, and I only wrote down a couple, but I just want to share one with you. In a decisive battle, the Battle of Midway, between the American Navy and the Japanese Navy, it was a lack of communication that allowed the Americans to win. The American ships were narrowing in. Japanese planes were sent out in reconnaissance, and they saw them. But their radios failed. The radios failed. They couldn't get the message back. And almost the same thing happened in 1944. Radios used by British forces completely failed at the Operation Market Garden. And because of that, they suffered a terrible defeat. We are in a battle, and we have this armor that God has given us, but unless we stay in contact with the commander-in-chief, we will fail. We will fail. And that's what prayer is all about. It's communicating with our commander-in-chief. Remember, a couple things that are important here. This is God's armor. We are putting on God's armor. It is God who is in control. And we must stay in contact with Him. The armor of God is of no use unless we stay in contact with God and do all that we do through prayer. There should be no break between those verses, and there should be no break in our relationship. Prayer is vital with our relationship with Almighty God. And we have sometimes made prayer a very mystical, strange thing. But I want you to understand that even Jesus, while he was upon this earth, recognized how important it was to stay in contact with the Father. He went out early in the morning before it was light and prayed. Sometimes the disciples had to go and find him because he was out there and praying. When he came to an important time in his life, choosing the apostles, for example, he spent the whole night in prayer and prayed so that he would be in complete connection. There would be no gap between. He even prayed on the cross that God would forgive those who were persecuting him. The early church understood how vital prayer was. It was the church together praying when the Holy Spirit came. In chapter 2, it says they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to prayer. It was so vital to them. Chapter 3, in verse 1, John, on the way to the hour of prayer, had this great miracle take place. In chapter 4, they were arrested and taken before and threatened not to speak any longer in the name of Jesus. And what they did, they went out and they prayed that God would give them boldness to preach. When there was problems in the church, they prayed, Lord, give us the wisdom, help us to know what to do. Again, and again and again, if you read through the book of Acts, you'll read that the church gathered for prayer. So here we come to this passage in Ephesians 6, and it says, pray in the Spirit at all times. And we have to ask the question, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? This phrase is used three times in the Bible. It's used in 1 Corinthians 14, it's used here in Ephesians, and it's used in Jude. Verse 20 and 21. Let me read that for you. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you'll keep yourselves safe in God's law. Well, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? It could mean with the help of the Spirit. It could mean in connection with the Spirit. It could mean in the power of the Spirit. And I think in one way or another, really, it means all of those. It is to pray so that the Spirit of God is moving and guiding power of our prayer. We are to pray, but it is the work of the Spirit in us. We are told in the Scriptures to walk in the Spirit, to fight sin in the Spirit, to confess the Lordship of Jesus in the Spirit, to worship in the Spirit, and here also to pray in the Spirit. There are those who say, well, it was used in 1 Corinthians 14, and so to pray in the Spirit means to pray in tongues. I have nothing against if God gives you a gift of praying in tongues and you use that and that builds you up, but that is not what it means here, because look what it says. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all the believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words. You see, there are specific requests there. And this is a miscommunication, if you will, to say that praying in the Spirit is just praying in tongues. It is praying in the power and the moving, the guiding power of the Holy Spirit. Well, what are the characteristics of praying? It's there. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Be alert and persistent. And all of those things, let me just list them one by one. I don't want to take a lot of time because I want you to have time to get in your prayer triangles. I almost called it prayer troikas. We did this, used to do this in the Russian church, and it was a troika. A troika is three horses that are hooked together to pull. And so we always called it a prayer troika there. We're going to call it a prayer triangle here. My favorite story, some of you are saying, oh, well, that's only for the the learned saints who have been Christians all their life, and they're the ones who can pray. And I'm going to digress again and talk about that card, because it is not just for those. It is for everyone. If you learn to walk, you probably learned pretty young. Some of you know, some of us, it didn't take. I had to learn to walk three times. There were circumstances, but I did have to learn to walk three times. And sometime, if you want to hear about it, I'll tell you. If you learn to swim, you had to keep on. There's no place that you can say, oh, now I'm a strong enough Christian, now I should pray. No, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can pray. And even if you say, well, I'm not quite sure what I believe, I would encourage you to be in this prayer. One of my favorite stories from Russia was two ladies went to a third lady, and they said, would you join us to be a part of our prayer troika? And she said, well, on one occasion, with one stipulation, one thing that has to be. And they said, well, what is that? And they said, she said, if you'll pray for my salvation. She wasn't a believer yet. But she put her name down there, and the others put her name on their list. And at the end of that time, she was a believer. She did give her heart to the Lord. So even if you don't know where you stand with the Lord, put your name on there and become a part of a prayer triangle today. It says to pray at all times, consistent prayer. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. And that always is kind of confusing to people. How can we pray without ceasing? You know, when I'm driving the car, if I don't have my eyes open, I'm in big trouble. I hope you understand. You can pray with your eyes open. All right, it's okay. But one person said that this same phrase, without ceasing, is also used in the early medical days as the coughing, like a hacking cough. Have you ever had a cough that you just couldn't seem to get rid of it, and it just kept coming back, and it just kept coming back? Well, that's the same phrase that is this without ceasing, not constantly, but always there, always there, always there. And when I read that, I thought, wow, that helps me to understand that better than I've ever really understood it before. I've always said in the past, well, it's kind of an attitude of prayer. I'm just conscious of God's presence. But I like the coughing, the hacking cough better, and that it just keeps coming back. It just keeps coming back, keeps coming back. And we understand what it means to be in contact, don't we? Because we carry these things in our pockets. We are constantly in contact and available. I hope yours is on airplane mode so it won't ring and interrupt things. But we understand that now. Before, you know, I think before cell phones were around, people said, oh, well, I'm not in contact. And those who are wise enough to turn their cell phones off when they're home, bless you. Because you learned to control that yourself. But we understand what it means to be constantly available and in contact. And God has said, I am available any hour. Any hour you can come and reach out to me. Well, one time in church, I told people that I was trying to explain to people, I'm available. If you're going to be in the hospital or if you have a problem, you call me anytime. And I said, my phone rings 24 hours a day. It's okay. And at the end, one of the ladies said, I am so sorry that you get so many calls. I said, no, I don't mean my phone rings 24 hours a day. I mean it can ring 24 hours a day. It's okay. And then he said, all kinds, all occasions of prayer, all types of prayer. It's not just asking. I think that if our children, as parents, if our children only spoke to us when they wanted something, we would get really tired of that. It is not just when you need something from God that you pray. I just listed a few. There's a lot more. Worship prayers. Praise God for who He is. I think all prayers should start that way. Just thanking God for, or praising God for who He is. And then thanksgiving prayers. Thanking God for what He does. Confessional prayers for sins, failures, or needs. You say, well, I don't have anything to confess. Well, you better confess that you need God every day. You better confess that without Him, you can't make it. So when I say confession, it doesn't just mean you have to confess some great sin. Confess your need of Him. Intercession prayers, that means praying for the needs of others. Daily prayers, for the daily bread of our life, that we need to pray for those regular things in our life. Pray for them. And special prayers, petitions, as it's called here, for special needs. When do we pray? We pray regular times, morning, noon, night, okay, meals, that's fine. But there needs to be special times of prayer for special needs. When you need to make a decision, take some special time and say, "This, I'm going to pray about this." We need to pray together. Alone, regular prayer, that's fine. But there needs to be, the Bible says, where two or three, look at Matthew 18, 19 and 20. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I'm there among them. And so as you gather in your prayer triangles, be aware of the fact that God is right there in the midst. And you can bring your prayers to Him. I love the fact that it's two or three because that includes families. That includes marriages. Just two can join their hearts together in prayer. Or three as the family goes on. Corporate prayer together. That's what we do here at church. We pray together. Corporate prayer apart. That's like a prayer day. A day of prayer. We're going to gather on Friday together. In that service, but there's going to be people gathering all over the world and praying. And we need those times as well. We need corporate prayer together, corporate prayer apart. So it is a varied kinds of prayer. And thirdly, then, it's intense. Be alert, watchful. We're in a war. It's not a sport. It's not a sport. I love to play golf. I don't play much in Germany. I haven't played for a long time, as a matter of fact, in Germany. But I have certain conditions when I play golf. I don't play golf in the rain. It's really messy out there. I don't like to play golf alone. I only play if somebody else will come and play with me. I like to play pleasant courses. I've played a couple courses I'll never play again. They're just awful courses. I like to play when it doesn't cost too much. I had another pastor friend and I, we used to play on Monday morning. And there was a purpose why we played on Monday morning, because for pastors it was half price on Monday morning. And so we played on Monday morning. I know people who pray like that. They pray when it's feeling good. They pray when somebody else reminds them maybe they should pray. They pray when it's pleasant. They pray when it doesn't cost. And I want to remind you, we're not in a sport. We're in a war. Soldiers do not carry their weapons when they feel like it. They don't go to battle when they think it would be a nice day out there. They go when the commanding officer sends them. It takes perseverance, and all perseverance. I've listed Luke 11, 9 through 13. I want to read that to you. And so I tell you, keep on asking. That's what it, when it says ask and seek and pray, it's in a present, progressive verb tense. Keep on asking, and you'll receive for what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, you do not give them a snake instead. Or if they ask for an egg, you do not give them a scorpion. Of course not. So if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You say, I don't know how to pray in the Spirit. And that scripture says, look, God wants you to have the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit, okay? Because you can't take God apart. You didn't just get God the Father and God the Son. You got all three. And it's not a matter of you receiving the Spirit. It's a matter of the Spirit having control of you. So it's an intense prayer to pray because we're alert and watchful like a soldier. And we're persevering. It's a universal and personal. For all the saints, he said, pray for all the saints and pray for me. We don't pray for the saints to be at ease, to have comfort, to have wealth or health. That's not the prayers. Don't pray that for your pastor either, please. It's not we're praying that they'll be at ease. We're praying that God will give them victory and overcome. In John 17:15. Jesus said, I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them safe from the evil one. There's a battle going on, and we should be praying protection over our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be praying that they be encouraged in the Lord and not discouraged. We need to be praying that they will have victory over the temptations that are going to come into their life. So we don't pray for comfort, but we do pray for the effective witness. Notice that he says, pray for me. This is Paul, the boldest witness, the most powerful witness of the New Testament times. And what did he want them to pray for him? Boldness. Boldness. You say, I've never read about anybody bolder than he was. He went into dangerous territory. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was thrown in prison. But he understood that he needed prayer for him to be bold in the word. Colossians 4:3-4 says, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about this mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why we are here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Pray for boldness, pray for clarity, that we will be effective witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then pray for courage. That's the boldness part. Acts 4:31, after this prayer, when they were threatened, they got together, and when they prayed, the meeting place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. Boldness. This week, probably you heard, I imagine you heard, that Billy Graham died at 99 and went to be to heaven. And you, some of you, I think maybe all of you know my testimony, is that when I was 15 years old, I went to a crusade in Fresno, California. And it was during that crusade, during that evangelistic meeting, that God called me to be a minister. And so Billy Graham's always had a very special part in my heart. But he was bold. He was bold. He proclaimed the word of God to over, they say, 250 million people during his lifetime. It's impossible to really calculate it because in latter days, every one of his major crusades were also televised around the world. And many people who never even got in the stadium with him. That's how close I got to him. I was in a stadium. He was way down there. He looked like a dot. But many people who didn't even get that close to him became Christians through his proclamation. He boldly proclaimed that this is the Word of God, and the power of God is in the Word to convert and to change lives, and people can be saved. Their sins can be forgiven. Their lives can be completely changed. He spoke boldly right until the end of his life. Well, what did you say? Well, yeah, I used to try to pray, but I didn't get an answer to my prayer. What if God doesn't answer our prayers? The question should be, what if God doesn't answer our prayers right away? Because God does answer our prayers. In a book I have, and I don't remember who wrote it. If your request is wrong, God says no. It says, why do we not receive? Because you ask wrongly. You ask for a personal need or a personal, this is something I want and not what God wants. He will say no. If your timing is wrong, God says slow. Just wait. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep trusting. If you're wrong, there's something in you that hinders you from being able to pray in faith. God says grow. But if the request is right and the timing is right and you're right, God says go. God says go. How do we begin? I have a question for you. I want you to be honest with you, with me. Okay? Be honest with you too, but be honest with me. How many of you have a plan for your vacation for this summer? I've already got tickets. I know they just get more expensive later on. Which of us would come up to the day of our vacation and say, oh, this is the beginning of our 4 weeks of vacation. What should we do? None of us would do that. We would plan. We would think it through. We would make plans of where we wanted to go and what we wanted to do and what our budget was and what we could do and couldn't do. We just do that, don't we? And yet, many of us fail to plan to pray. The natural unplanned flow of the spiritual life sinks to a lowest ebb of vitality. If you don't plan to pray, you won't pray. It's that simple. And what should your plan include? It should include a time and a place for regular prayer. And I will guarantee you that when you choose a time and begin to do it, you will find 47 other things that will try to take that time. Guarantee it. Because Satan doesn't want you to pray. Satan doesn't want you to spend time with God. And so he's going to try to put everything in the way. But you have to have a time and a place. You have to prepare. You have to persevere. You have to hang in there and keep going at it. Keep doing it. I believe you need partners. Especially when you're beginning. If you learn to ride a bike on your absolute own, you're a rare quantity. Somebody, and I know because I ran along behind three of my kids, ran along behind holding the back. How many of your fathers did that, huh? Yeah. Yeah, you need somebody. When you're first learning to ride a bike, somebody's got to hold on to it and run there behind you. And it's always fun to let go and just see how far they can make it and sometimes pick them up and get them going again. I think if you're going to begin to be a prayer, you probably need some partners. And that's why this triangle of prayer is a good idea. Okay? Maybe it's not a great idea. Maybe after Easter you'll say, I was crazy. I'm never going to do that again. Do it from now until Christmas. Christmas. Well, you do it till Christmas too. Do it from now until Easter. Just to humor your pastor. Okay? Will you? Good. Get some and then proceed. Proceed. Start. You'll never learn to swim if you don't get in the water. You'll never learn to pray in the Spirit until you begin to pray. Begin to pray. And folks, this is a battle that will carry on all of your life. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, it's still a battle for me sometimes to get up and pray. I shouldn't say it sometimes, many times. It's still a battle. It's still a discipline that I want to spend more time with God in prayer. When the subject of prayer comes up and I have to preach on it, the first half of the week, I have to spend time with God and say, God, I'm not doing as well as I should be doing. How can I preach this to other people? And God has to help me through that and give me some wisdom and some help so that I can preach. Am I an ideal? Do I have an ideal prayer life? I don't think so. I'm still working on it. Okay? So don't feel bad If you say, well, I start and I stop and I start and I stop, keep on starting. Keep on getting up. Keep on going forward. I told you I had to learn to walk three times. It was because I broke some bones, and then I wore a cast, and I had to learn to walk. And when they took the cast off, I had to learn to walk again. Okay, I didn't want anybody to go home scratching their head saying, how did he forget to walk? That's you want to pray? Then plan a place and a time. Find some people that you that pray with and get started. Okay? It's 15 after. I sometimes preach till 20 after. Sometimes you're shaking your head. Yeah, sometimes you preach a half after. So I'm stopping so that you'll have time to find some other people and form some prayer triangles from now until Easter. Will you do that for me? Let me pray for us. Father, you know how the enemy would like to keep us from praying. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to hearts right now. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't even know that they're really a believer. I pray that maybe this would be the very time that they could get a handle on it and say, yes, I believe that Jesus died for my sin. I believe when I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them. I believe that I can be a child of God by faith. And I can call out to him as my Father. I pray that, Lord, as these triangles are formed and these names are prayed over every day from now until Easter, I'm praying that, Lord, there'll be people who will come to faith because of the faith of your people and the faithfulness of your people of this church. I pray these things in the powerful, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.